This podcast is a part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. We are supported by listeners like you. To help us create more great shows, visit cgnmedia.org/support.
Hello and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to invite you to have a seat at the table with us as we consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. Listen in as we confront each topic biblically and practically.
I felt this tremendous pressure to be like, have the right answer or a word that's fitly spoken, you know, like the golden apple nugget of truth that I had to give them. And that pressure led me to be somebody who was just over spiritualizing. It felt forced. It just didn't feel authentic in my relationship with them and with God. And that's when I had to take a step back and be like, okay, you know what? I don't have all the answers, and I'll never have all the answers. But what I can do is I can pray and I can listen to you. And if the Holy Spirit wants me to speak or gives me a word of exhortation or an encouragement, then I can yield to the Holy Spirit.
Today, our topic is help. I'm a young pastor's wife. And to help me have this conversation, I've invited a few of my friends who are, in fact, pastor's wives and are young, Sarah Holliday and Ashley Chaya. So tell us a little bit about yourselves and how old you were when you embarked on this journey.
Yeah, I'm Sarah Holliday. I became a pastor's wife in 2019. I was 29 years old, so now I'm 32, and it's been quite a few years.
You joined the ranks during COVID.
I did, right before.
Yeah. I'm Ashley Chaya, and I started being a pastor's wife in 2021, and it's now 2023, so I was 24.
No, wow.
I'm 26 now, and my husband's a high school pastor.
Oh, that's awesome. And where does your husband serve, Sarah?
My husband serves here at Reliance Church. He's the assistant pastor to Ted Leavenworth.
She's already name dropping.
Oh, am I not supposed to say that?
No, just kidding.
We love Ted.
So when I became pastor's wife, I think I figured out, I didn't even remember, I think I was 30. So being a pastor's wife, you guys are brand new, and you know, I would say this, that we've discovered that the role of pastor's wife doesn't exist in the Bible. Mm-hmm. We can say that. There are no qualifications. There's no official title or office within Scripture. It simply means that you're married to a pastor. But that doesn't stop the expectations of either a senior leader or our own expectations of others from forming a role or responsibilities or expectations for us. So it's really an interesting topic to think through. You know, when you guys first came on the scene, like maybe even before you became a pastor's wife and then your husband was being called into that position, like what were your thoughts early on? Like, what am I getting into? What did you expect the role to bring or not bring?
I think I grew up kind of knowing about pastor's wives and seeing them at my church. And then once later on at being at Bible college, seeing a lot of retreats with different people and specifically that. So I think my expectation was what I had just naturally been shown in life, which was just this role that people had. And I think it was actually a lot different than what in my situation was given. There wasn't as much of a pressure, and I think almost like a lack of pressure, which I was a little surprised about. I was like, oh, wow, like you don't have any expectations for me necessarily. So that was, I think, a little surprising for me because my natural expectation was that there was going to be these more serious implications of like, this is what I want you to be in this role. So that was kind of weird for me, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely had expectations that I placed on myself, kind of like what Ashley said. I'm a worship leader, so before I even became a pastor's wife, I led worship for several pastor's wives conferences, and I heard a lot of pastor's wives speaking and teaching on the different expectations that they have for themselves and placed on themselves by other people. So I found that in my mind, I already had developed a preconceived idea of what the ideal pastor's wife was supposed to look like, right? They're supposed to look a certain way, like dress well, but not too well, or always be on and always be available and behave a certain way. And I remember that being super daunting. So when I came into this role, I had set those expectations on myself, and it was a lot, like, to be honest, it was a lot. And I was trying to navigate, that ideal picture that I had, that all those preconceived notions of a pastor's wife that I had with, how I grew up. And I grew up with a very strong female authority presence in my family. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, there's this hyper, submissive, like almost ideal, too perfect to be true idea of what I had as a pastor's wife. And then there's like this super strong, independent woman that I grew up with. So how can I reconcile this? And I placed a lot of those expectations on myself. And yeah, the first year was really difficult trying to find my identity in Christ and who I was supposed to be and who God made me to be personally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it is out there sort of that Stepford Wife's kind of pastor's wife that you see or you hear about or you know, and you think, oh my goodness, like there's this facade of, okay, we need to be perfect. We need to be the best example. We need to be, and some of those things are true. I mean, we are, but they're supposed to be genuine, right?
Yeah.
Like we're supposed to genuinely want to walk in those things and realizing we're not perfect. And those are a little bit harder, but there has to be some pressures too that come with being younger. I mean, not having any experience going into it, not having a lot of life experience coming into the ministry. And a lot of pastors' wives come in young. And so that's kind of why we're having this conversation today, is because that so many come in at a younger age. When, and I think culturally there's a shift too in what's expected and what's not. I think for my generation, that sort of perfect pastor's wife that did play the piano, that did sing on the worship team, that, you know, did run the women's ministry, that's sort of like now not so much. You know what I mean? I think that we've dealt with the expectations a little bit. So what are some of the expectations that you do have, or that your husband has for you, or that the church, or that you feel like you deal with now?
I think in the really big, in the very beginning, I felt like I, this is probably more of like an unhealthy, now I've kind of come to more of a balance, praise God. But I felt like I needed to be involved in everything. So, I mean, in my role right now, I am a high school pastor's wife. So really that's like the first and foremost of my calling, is to be available to the high school girls and help them. But I think I was kind of trying to be involved in every little thing, in women's ministry, in worship, in serving, wherever I could, feeling like I needed to kind of just be available whenever. But then kind of stepping back and realizing, like, okay, like where I'm at right now and what I'm called to in this moment is specifically where I feel like my husband is called, in high school ministry. And so I think in the first year, I really overwhelmed myself with the expectation of feeling like I needed to be involved specifically, like heavily in women's ministry, just because you think like, oh, I'm a pastor's wife, so I should probably get to know all the women in the church. But honestly, that's just like not the place that I'm at right now in life. And I think if you're as young as me starting as a pastor's wife, you might take that on because, you know, like everybody wants to make a community and become friends with people, but sometimes it just might look different than what you expected in the beginning. And so I had to kind of work through that. And at the start of this year was really when I was like, no, I think I need to take a step back and just focus on the few things and do those really well versus trying to overwhelm myself with that expectation.
It's so good, because then you can show these young women who are growing up, what does it look like to model Christianity? You know, what does it genuinely look like? You can put your efforts. So what a relief to be able to like get rid of the expectations and just go, okay, you know, what's really needed here? What does my husband want for me first and foremost? You know,
that was something that I really appreciate coming from my senior pastor. You know, he sat us down when my husband came onto the staff, and he said, we are not trying to coerce you both into working for the church. He's like, just because Russ is going to be a pastor on my staff doesn't mean that we're hooking you in and you're going to have to be right there with him. This is not a package deal, even though it is in some ways, you know. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I love serving alongside my husband where I can and when I can. But the expectation that he's given me personally in our home is take care of our family, you know, right. Support me in the way that you can. Make sure that you're being healthy, that you're doing healthy things. You're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of our babies, our children, my daughter, and that you're in the Word. That's his expectation. He's like, I expect you to be in the Word and to love our family. Yeah. So I really appreciated that just right off the bat, having that as like the foundation of how we were going to do this, you know. And we all know that's the only way we can get through it is if we're on that firm foundation of the Word of God.
Yeah. And imagine if you guys would have come in early on and your senior leader would have said, and I think this has happened to some, like, okay, he's my assistant. You need to be the assistant to the senior pastor's wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I found myself in a role similar to that. And I was fortunate that my husband was able to kind of put his foot down and say, no, I can't do my job if she's not assisting me in the home as my wife, as the mother of my children. You know, because we started ministry when our kids were like, I think 2, 4, and 6. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like 3 little kids at home. And then the expectations of working, you know, for free in the church, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've had, like I said, good conversations about, okay, what is our expectations of pastors' wives and especially young pastors' wives? I think that is hard. So there can be healthy expectations, like you were saying, and then there can be some really unhealthy expectations. And we've given some examples of that too.
Another one that I just remembered that I thought of was that he told me specifically, I expect you to say no. And that ties into like what you said, like, I can't be someone's assistant. I can't do all the things. And I'm a very yes person. I'm a very, like before this, I was a personal assistant. You know, I did that for years. I just try to make things happen. I like to make people happy. I like to do a good job. And I'm a very, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do that. But my husband was like, I expect you to say no. I expect you, you know, to take care of yourself, to take care of our family and to limit what you allow yourself to do. Because if you say yes to something, that means you're saying no to something else. Mm-hmm. And more often than that, than not, we all know we're saying no to our families. We're saying no to the things that should be priority, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And you guys both do a lot in ministry. You know what I mean? Like you got, I know you personally and you guys have big plates for ministry, but I think the key, I think what you've hit is the key to longevity is being able to be here at this table still when you're 65 years old and say like, okay, we've made it through ministry, because we all know the statistics. I think it's like 1 in 10 pastors are still in that role by the time they're 65. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they retired. It's because they quit or had a moral failure, you know, because they didn't take some of these healthier practices into consideration. Like, okay, wait, first and foremost, my relationship with God. So what about other people's expectations? What about some expectations that you feel maybe others put on? How do you guys deal with that?
I think the biggest expectation that I felt tangibly felt when I came, when Russell became a pastor, was that I was expected to always have an answer for everything. Mm-hmm. So even people coming up to me and saying, you know, giving me prayer requests, like, can you please pray for this? Or what do you think about this? I felt this tremendous pressure to be like, have the right answer or a word that's fitly spoken, you know, like the golden apple nugget of truth that I had to give them. And that pressure, that pressure led me to be somebody who was just over spiritualizing. It felt forced. It just didn't feel authentic in my relationship with them and with God. And that's when I had to take a step back and be like, okay, you know what? I don't have all the answers, and I'll never have all the answers. But what I can do is I can pray and I can listen to you. Mm-hmm. And if the Holy Spirit wants me to speak or gives me a word of exhortation or an encouragement, then I can yield to the Holy Spirit.
Right. That's good wisdom.
Yeah. I would actually say the same. I was sitting here thinking, I didn't feel like I had too many outside pressures, which I'm really grateful for. But I think that specifically, I remember, I think it was within the first like month or two.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Being in the ministry, I had somebody come and ask me a really tough question that I felt like I didn't know how to answer.
Right.
And that actually wasn't the space for just a quick short answer. Would have been like, we should go to coffee and talk about this. And I felt so overwhelmed. I remember sitting there after they had left, and so I started crying because I felt overwhelmed by feeling like, did I mess that up? Did I ruin their salvation? Mm-hmm. Like, did I give them what they were looking
They're
for?
They're not saved I'm now like, because oh my of gosh. Me.
Thanks a lot, Ash.
And so I was really stressed out, and then Levi came over, and he was like, what happened? I told him about it, and he was just like, you know, you don't have to have all the answers. Like, if mm-hmm. you don't know, mm-hmm. it's okay to be like, maybe I can get back to you on that. Like, I actually don't know how to answer you properly, and I want to be able to, or have that conversation. And so I think that was probably one of the biggest pressures from like others, just because, and especially in high school ministry, mm-hmm. with parents, I think that's probably a different challenge because mm-hmm. they'll come and ask you things, or, you know, they want to know what's going on with their students' lives. And sometimes I could feel the pressure of, you know, people's opinions of why are you doing it this way or not this mm-hmm. way, or, mm-hmm. you know, so I think that was a pressure that I faced, I think still a little bit sometimes, right. which is just natural, but
yeah. Just every time you open your mouth, you're like, are they going to agree with me? Are they not going to agree with me? Did I just make someone leave the church? I might have, you know, those conversations you have in your head, like, oh, they're not, what if they don't agree with my philosophy or, all of those things. Those are ministry things. How do you guys navigate changing the subject a little bit? What about friendships and being in leadership together? How do you guys navigate that? Is it different being a pastor's wife, a young pastor's wife, and trying to navigate friendships? Or do you think it's just normal, like everyday friendships like everybody else has?
I think it's a bit of a mix. Mm-hmm. I think you can have friends in the same way as far as, you know, doing fun things with people, creating memories, building friendships. And then there's the people that you have to have in your circle that you really trust and that you know you can really pour your heart out to if you're struggling through something or if there's a situation that maybe you need to have wisdom on. And I'm really blessed to have people like that, like Sarah in my life.
Same. I got you.
So I think you definitely can have friendships in the sense of, like, you know, you're going to create friends that maybe you don't go as deep with, because mm-hmm. I think that's just a part of life. But then the few people that are really close, like in your inner circle, that you know if you really vulnerably share, they're not going to sit mm-hmm. there and be like, oh, I didn't know that you felt this way, or, you know, not judge you and kind of take it serious enough to give wisdom back to you.
Right. Godly advice.
Yeah. So, but I think it can be a little challenging sometimes, because I think you quickly realize that it does look a little different than before, just because of your role sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel
because I think your role comes with some sense of responsibility, some sense of authority. You have to call the balls and strikes sometimes.
Yeah.
And so in friendship, that can be a little bit difficult
mm-hmm.
when you're, especially if you weren't in that role and then coming into that role. Did you notice your friendships changed? Some friendships changed at all?
Some friendships mm-hmm. did change. And I've noticed that the friendships that I've had, because I've been in ministry for several years before I even met my husband, before he became a pastor. And the friendships that I've had the longest have changed a lot. So it's different. I'd say the friendships that I have with people who are not currently in my ministry now, who are not currently like attending the same church or in the same kind of ministry, you know, being in leadership or worship ministry or teaching ministry, whatever it is, those friendships are pretty solid. But it's the friends that I've had for years and years who are, I'm not exactly the same person as I was when I knew them and when we were really close. Mm-hmm. Those friendships have shifted a lot, where there's almost that disconnect and not talking and not communicating every day like we used to has kind of bridged like a, oh, not me versus them kind of mentality, but almost like you're too good to talk to me now, or you're mm-hmm. so busy doing all this ministry mm-hmm. stuff, and you're out there doing things for the Lord that you've kind of forgotten about, like where mm-hmm. how we used to be, you know? And that's hurt me a lot. Mm-hmm. Those friendships that I had since I was young, very, very young or young in the faith, have changed a lot. But mm-hmm. I have noticed that the women who are still doing ministry, who are like treading the same ground that I am, you know, like just digging in, those friendships are tight. Right. The hard friendships that I've noticed now, it's hard for me to make friends,
mm-hmm. yeah,
to make new ones,
yeah,
on a deeper level,
right?
And I love to meet people. I love hearing about their lives. I like to fellowship at church when we have the different events, but making meaningful relationships with people it's difficult because I've been burned before. There's one right there. I'll just throw that out there. Everybody knows, you know, right. But also I'm extremely cautious about who gets to come and be a part of my child's mm-hmm. life, you know, right. Who gets to come and be a part of my daughter's life,
right.
Because it's not just me anymore who they can potentially hurt or who they can affect, right. You know. It's my daughter who mm-hmm. loves just yeah. With abandon. She just loves everyone who comes into her life, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
Well, and I think with our husbands too, because you have this, you know, you become this pastor's wife, and then before, you could just talk about your husband, your boyfriend. I mean, girls mm-hmm. just talk, and, mm-hmm. and that would be okay. But now it's like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I've gotten burned a few times over this one. You know, wait a minute, this is their pastor. And in my case, you know, the guy they listen to every mm-hmm. single week, teach them mm-hmm. the Bible, you know, it's a little bit different of a ball game. So
yeah.
In my experience, it's almost been like the newer friendships almost become, I hate to even say this, but more one-sided mm-hmm. because there's certain things that, you know, you don't share mm-hmm. in certain situations because your husband is an employee of the church or because he is the pastor of the youth or the mm-hmm. pastor at the church. So it's, it can be, I don't know. I find that to be tricky waters.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It's like, I can be mad at him, but I don't want you to be mad at
right.
him. You know, yeah. I don't want you to be mad at him because I might forgive him really quickly. Right. And you might still be upset like 3 weeks later.
And I might be embellishing what he actually yeah, did a little.
He's not even that bad. You know, he's actually really wonderful, but I just made you hate him. So, you know, I don't want other people to feel that way. But with that said too, like it'd be wrong for me to say like, obviously my husband is my best friend. Like I just having him as a good partner, as a friend, someone that I can talk to, someone that I actually like to talk to, right. You know, helps a lot when I'm navigating new friendships and even old friendships, you know?
Yeah. They always have wisdom about it too, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Girl friendships are amen. So unique compared to and man he knows. Friendships.
Well, he knows too. I need my girls. He's like, right. Maybe yeah. you need to go spend some time with so-and-so. You know? Like, maybe
yeah. call yes, up I Ashley. Do. Yeah. Girl weekend. Yeah. I love it.
Like, absolutely.
So speaking of like kind of going, we'll just go a little deeper into this, the mm-hmm. husband thing. And then, so what about like when you're a pastor's wife and... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someone's listening and they're like, man, we're putting this facade on or we're doing this thing. And you know, ministry is a treadmill, right? You can't mm-hmm. get off of it. It's weekly. So when you have really serious issues in your marriage, like as a young pastor's wife, like where do you turn to? What do you do in those situations? You know, you don't necessarily want to go to your senior pastor. I mean, he's your husband's boss. You know? And you're like, hey, I need to talk to you about something, you know, but what do you think about that? What advice could you give in that?
I think I first really had to just go to the Lord, which sounds like such a cliche spiritual answer, but though. Just really like go to the Lord mm-hmm. and bare my soul and be brutally honest, mm-hmm. whether it be through prayer out loud or journaling or whatever it looks like for you. Because I think before I word vomit to anything else or anyone else, it needs to be to Jesus first.
Yeah.
Because then he speaks to me and helps me in those times. And so definitely that. And then I think confiding in a friend with reason. Obviously, you don't want to go, you know, blast your husband and, mm-hmm. you know, share all of their flaws or weaknesses with somebody to the point where it's a little bit too much and, like, oversharing. But, you know, I've gone to close friend where I've just been like, hey, I really just need some guidance in how mm-hmm. I need to handle this situation. Because, you know, especially in ministry, like, you have your marriage, but then you're adding on, like, ministry, too. And when you don't see it eye to eye sometimes, it can mm-hmm. be a little challenging because you think you're right, they think they're right, and then you have to come to right. a place of agreement. Mm-hmm. And so just getting wisdom from somebody to, I think, really humbly be like, am I right or do I need to be, like, mm-hmm. like, I need some real tough love right now.
Right.
So I think having a friend like that is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would agree with Ashley. Like, that kind of brings up discipleship to me. And in my mind, discipleship and friendship kind of go hand in hand. It's like that iron sharpening iron. You know, you're doing life with that person. It's taking place now. Every time I hang out with like-minded believers, we're living out the gospel with one another, that kind of thing. But I also think of, like, mentorship. And when I have things that I just don't know how to navigate, I can't necessarily talk to, like, younger, maybe my peers, I reach out to the ladies who have poured into me in different areas in my mm-hmm. life, whether that's I met them at women's Bible study, whether I met them at, I go to a ministry for young moms, it's called Moms Inspired, whether that's an older lady mm-hmm. who has done the whole motherhood thing and knows that, you know, can tell me that I'm not crazy, mm-hmm. like when I feel like I'm crazy. You know, whatever it is, like, those leaders, I can reach out to them. But, okay, I'm gonna get a little honest here.
Do it.
In 2020, right, that's literally the first year, the first complete year that I was a pastor's wife, everything went crazy, right? And there were certain things that I couldn't speak about with people around me. There were certain ministry things that would have been a conflict of interest to share with fellow staff members or close friends who attend this church. There were certain issues in my marriage that wouldn't have been prudent to share with people, you know, also who were attending our church, mm-hmm. the people around me. So I started therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that therapy is an extremely controversial subject to some, so I want to tread lightly, but also remind myself and remind us, like, this is my experience. These are my real life experiences during the pandemic. At the time, I felt a lot of weight on my shoulders. There was mm-hmm. a lot of questioning my role in ministry, questioning my husband's role in ministry. Mm-hmm. There was tension in my marriage. I had a one-year-old baby at the time, and she had health issues. She had to start major medication. I didn't know what was going to happen to the church. Honestly, I didn't know what was going to happen to the world, for that matter. There were some ministry leaders, pastors, elders, pastors' wives, whom I respected and valued, who said the most egregious and hateful things, and I was left extremely jaded. So during 2020, and I know that I'm not the only one, with all of that going on, someone suggested that I would start therapy from a biblical counselor, someone just older than me who had some wisdom, just said, maybe you might want to do this. And at first, I was extremely hesitant because we all have the stigma. You know, right. I asked some of my family members about what they thought, and all of them were like, no, just honest. You know, they're like, probably not, you know, like, maybe not. Have you tried reading your Bible? Like, that kind of thing. And but after speaking with my husband, who was in total agreement with the therapy thing, he was just like, you know, I believe that you have a relationship with the Lord, and I believe that this right. is, you know, this could be a good thing. I started therapy. And my goal for therapy in 2020 when I first started was to learn how to properly navigate my thoughts and my emotions in a healthy way, mm. honestly, and to stop allowing my anxieties and fears, like that mental health state that I was in, to govern my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I know my husband benefited from me going just as much as I did, honestly. I found a Christian licensed professional who graduated right. from colleges and seminaries that I know teach the word of God, is solid teachers, right. and who was a missionary for several years before opening his counsel practice alongside his wife. So honestly, coming from experience, if you do not have someone to talk to, if you feel like you're stuck, that mentorship, discipleship, and counseling, not just professional, but that biblical counseling, It was vital to mm-hmm. my personal walk with the Lord and my determination to stay the course, and it could help someone else, you know? Yeah. So I'll just be open and vulnerable. It worked for me. It works for me now. It might not work for you, but my husband was in agreement with it, you know, and I know and acknowledge that just because this person has a doctorate in what they're studying does not mean that they are the voice of God. That does not mean that they are the word of God, but he can help me have tools mm-hmm. To navigate and to health, and to process things in a healthy way and to be better, you know, to work better.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's some things in our life where, you know, we do get at a standstill and we can't get through it. There has been a few times, Ted and I have never been shy about getting marriage counseling when we've needed it, mm-hmm. because sometimes you just need that third party in there mm-hmm. to go, okay, wait a minute, you need to take a walk with this, you need to take a walk with that. And there's nothing like that holds you accountable than having that third person in the room, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to say, well, you know what the Bible says, let's look at this, and it brings you into account. And I remember a few times, one where we were really struggling with something. And again, in the ministry, you live a public life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't just hide in the corner for a month when you're struggling through something. Mm-hmm. And so we would go to counseling. And a few times we even went to our senior pastor and just said, look, we need some help here, you know, and he gave it. But and then there was another time where I felt like I had hit a wall, like a real wall, like the kind where you jump into a swimming pool and there's no water in it, mm-hmm. you know. And I went to counseling during that period of time where I just needed, and it was simple things, simple exercises that she gave me. Just, and it really came down to, like, I was burned out as a mom. Mm-hmm. And I just was, you know, we were doing ministry and we had a young church and a young family, and it was all these things. Then in the spiritual warfare aspect, we can't forget that, like, you come, your parent, your husband becomes a pastor, and then all of a sudden you're bombarded and you live in a war zone, you know, like, spiritually speaking, we live in a war zone. It's a battle zone. And so getting through those things can be really difficult. And one of the things I've learned and that I've seen in pastors' wives is that when our husbands go through something, you're talking about you going through it, I'm talking about when I go through it. But, you know, when our husbands go through something big, and if they haven't, they will, you know, in ministry, we can stay away from the church. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We can isolate a little bit, and that can be good and dangerous. But our husbands can't. They have to keep facing it. And what I've discovered is I'm not so worried about the ministry. Like, I'm more worried about whether my husband's going to make it through or not. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to come out spiritually okay? Is he going to be able to continue to pour into people? Because he doesn't get a choice. You know, for him, Sunday just keeps coming, you mm-hmm. know, and you got to stand up when you got to stand up and preach. And so, so those times of, like, but I've seen pastors' wives get to the point where they even stop coming to church. Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden you're not seeing them. I've known people who've been separated for times and, like, the church doesn't know it. I've known people who have, like, been gone for several months or haven't gone to the church in 2 years because they're so hurt by the people and haven't dealt with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key is, like, you know, some of them were dealing with it, but, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of isolating to give them some time. But it's a rough role, mm-hmm. you know, it's not an easy role.
I just thought of a book I had read too in the past called Try Softer by a lady named Andy Kolber, and she's a licensed therapist, but she loves, like, biblical studies. And, it's a really good book because it helped me to kind of, process things and mm-hmm. learn how to, because it's a really practical book. She helps you walk you through. She talks about this concept of how a lot of times we can white knuckle through life, where we're just closing our fists and just getting through it and just continuing to go, even when we need to just, like, pause and let go and take the moment to process everything that's going on. And it just popped into my head because I took a lot from it. And I think it would be good mm-hmm. in those times where maybe you need to figure out if you don't want to go to a therapist, or if maybe if you don't have the funds for it or something.
Right. Yeah.
I think this was a good resource for me to really practically learn how to process things in life healthily, but that's also really it's good. So rooted in the word, which I appreciated and loved.
And that's good too, because the other subject that, you know, we're diving into is taking on people's heavy burdens, mm-hmm. you know, as pastor and pastor's wife, you're seeing the best parts of what people go through, mm-hmm. but you're also walking through everybody else's trauma and stress and hardships in their life. So we're also carrying that along mm-hmm. the way as well. So I think that's a really good resource for people to kind of learn how to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, how do you, even though we don't have a role, we do have a role because mm-hmm. all these things that we're talking about come up and mm-hmm. We have to learn how to deal with, mm-hmm. or it's going to, it will ruin us mm-hmm. and has ruined many. So, so ending on a good note, what's some of the biggest privileges or blessings, being a young pastor's wife?
I think one of the blessings, that I've noticed just reflecting on the almost 4 short years of being a pastor's wife is that, the world can be really cold and ugly. Yes, it can be devastating at times, but being in this role has allowed me to see that people can be very beautiful, you know? Mm. The Lord's people can be very beautiful, and that there are men and women who serve unabandoned with their whole hearts, who love the Lord so much and who are so selfless, and that increases my faith. Mm. So that's one of the biggest blessings that I've been able to serve alongside people who love Jesus, who are so gracious and who remind me that I'm not alone in this, no matter how dark things get. So I think that's one of the biggest blessings. And another blessing is just watching my husband grow in his role mm-hmm. and noting that as he grows, I grow and mm-hmm. our family grows, you know?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I think being able to do ministry together is a really big blessing because both my husband and I were doing ministry separately before. And we consistently talk about how nice it is to have somebody that you just fully trust right. and know and love. And you can look across the room and they're talking to somebody and you know that they're not telling them anything crazy. And just, right. you know, you just get to be able to see each other's gifts used in such a cool way when you're doing it together. But also I think being able to see people's lives changed and prayers mm-hmm. answered that you specifically you know, you go home after a Sunday or a Tuesday for youth group or something, and you're praying about the situations that have come up or what people have shared with you in life and the heaviness, and then you're praying for them, and then you get to see however long after the prayer's answered and people's lives changed. It's such a cool opportunity because when you start later in life, it's still great, but you just have less time. And so I'm just really grateful that, you know, I get to be able to have years of just seeing God change people's lives mm-hmm. and him work in all those ways.
Yeah. It's kind of like the servants at the wedding, you know, that Jesus had them when he turned the water into wine. It's like we get to see the inside. So when people are getting baptized, like mm-hmm. we know their stories. When people are coming to the altar, you know, metaphorically speaking, mostly, we get to see their lives change in that mm-hmm. way. And we know the inside stories and we get to see their victories mm-hmm. and we get to see their growth. And so all those things are like super cool. And just being able, like ministry is such a small world too. I think of just like getting to know other people in other churches and other ministries in other countries and mm-hmm. other states and all doing the same thing that we're doing. So there is community there, you know, and that's a good thing to point out too for women that are young pastors' wives. Like build a community of young pastors' wives that aren't in your church, mm-hmm. that if you need someone to talk to, they're there. Or just like, am I crazy? Do you go through this? And then they'll say yes, because they do. So that's
and you're still crazy.
Neat. Yeah. yes, we'll be crazy, crazy together. We'll be nuts together. And I love having pastors' wives as friends because I don't have to catch them up to speed. Mm-hmm. Like they just know. Mm-hmm. They've walked in my shoes. They know where I'm at. I don't have to spend a lot of time telling them, like, do you know? I know they know. Mm-hmm. They've dealt with it 100 times, you know. So that's always a blessing to me. But for me, marriage and ministry, sometimes I've asked Ted, like, our marriage and ministry is just so intertwined. It's like, okay, where does our marriage end, start and end, and ministry start and end? And I've come to realize they don't. Mm-hmm. They're just one. Like, we are a married couple in pastoral ministry mm-hmm. and all that entails. And our family was included in that. Our kids were included in that. Thankfully, they grew up and didn't hate church or hate the mm-hmm. ministry mm-hmm. which was an absolute goal of mine as a mother. I worked really intentionally hard at showing them God within the ministry and not just people, mm-hmm. which was really, really important to their well-being. But I think another benefit of being in ministry and being married, I feel like because my husband's in the ministry, like God holds him to a higher accountability, which in my marriage works really well. Over the years, it's like, you're going to have to get in check because I just that's know funny. God's not going to let you stay there. So that's been a little bit of a benefit. It keeps us on short leashes. So I think, and sometimes that's saved my marriage, you know, if I'm honest, like just having to deal with God and those things. So thanks, you guys, so much for coming. Is there anything else you had that you wanted to share before we go?
There's one thing that the Lord pressed on my heart this morning was that, you know, if you would have told me when I got saved that this would be my future, that I would be married to a pastor, et cetera, I'd be like, no way. Right. That's not me. Never.
I married a fireman, paramedic.
I know. I married someone who said they didn't want to be in the ministry, you know, so he tricked me. But what I would say to someone who is in that same boat is that God has chosen you. If you're a pastor's wife and you don't feel like you are adequate, that you don't live up to the ideal pastor's wife, you're in good company. Like, you're in really good company because the Lord has placed you in the position that you're in for a reason.
Right.
And he has called you, and he's the one that will continue to equip and to continue to fulfill your needs and to satisfy your needs, as it says in the scriptures. He's the one that will continue to keep you and your husband molded together and spearhead your journey as a family unit, you know? So, and something that I needed to hear. So, right. I don't know. What do you think, Ash? Yeah.
I think on the other end too, it's like, not something to idolize. I think there's both ends in that. I think that there's a lot of times, sometimes this concept of, one day I want to marry a pastor and life will be perfect and we'll serve together and it'll all be beautiful and we'll have kids and all these things, which it's so awesome. We do love it. And we love you who are listening, all the people we get to serve. It really is such a beautiful thing. Right. But it also really is tough sometimes. Yeah. And it does make life look different because of the things we've talked about today. Like, you have to carry things that somebody on the daily who, you know, works a job, they have their own ministry and those things. But you don't really have to come home carrying the weight of somebody who miscarried or somebody who's thinking really deep depressing thoughts that they're really struggling with. Like, those burdens we do take on, and sometimes it is a tough thing to walk through, even though it's beautiful because you do see life change and God working. But it's not sometimes this idealistic thing on the shelf that you want to, like, you think about all the time. And so I think that there's good balance in both of those things.
It's kind of like fame. People always want it. And then you have celebrities and they're trying to hide from everybody.
I can't even get breakfast by myself.
You know, my kids growing up in the ministry, they always understood like what it meant to be a ministry family because they were so little. They didn't know any different. Just like your daughter, Sarah, won't know any different. It's just she has a bunch of friends. Well, when my son got married, my daughter-in-law, like, she really thought like, oh, this will be cool to be like part of the family that's the senior pastors. And I'm telling you, like, 3 months in, she's like, I want out. I didn't know. Wait a minute. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm not going to do this. So it's a blessing. It can be idolized, and we want to do it really healthily and genuinely.
Longevity, like you mentioned. It's,
such a key thing.
Amen. Well, thanks for coming. Hey, well, thanks for joining us today. We hope that you find this content helpful. When She Leads is an active community for women in ministry. We have live training events, a podcast, this one, Zoom gatherings, and our all-new care and coaching teams. Visit whensheleads.org. for all that's going on within our community. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep up. Until next time.